What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest. We are going to interview Jana Lee, who is operations obsessed, and we're going to find out how she helps entrepreneurs run operations in their businesses. Now, Jana first stumbled into operations 5 years ago while she was traveling full-time in a converted van through North and South America. Since then, she has been COO at two successful startups, directly consulted over 30 seven- and eight-figure businesses, and coached hundreds more. She helps founders scale their businesses and scale themselves out of the day-to-day by training their operator to become the second in command. Her mission lies in transforming purpose-based businesses into vehicles for growth and good. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple six, seven, and eight figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, let's welcome Jana Lee to our show today. Hey, welcome, Jana.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure and honor to have you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Totally.
Let's dive into that. So, Jana, for the people who don't know, living under the rock, they don't know about your journey. Could you give us a backthrough of how exactly you started into this entrepreneurial world? When were you bitten by this entrepreneurial bug?
This bug. Yeah, totally. So I was not an entrepreneur to start, right? And I thought for a long time that I was actually supposed to be an entrepreneur. I was the COO for multiple businesses. I thought that my role was to be the second in command and not have my own business and my own vision. And then really what happened, Sahil, is that after enough time, after enough data, after enough learning and knowledge acquisition, working for others, I realized that I was actually pretty good at what it is that I do. I knew a lot about operations. And for me specifically, when I looked at the market, I saw a huge gap that people were not talking about operations, that it's super unsexy. And so nobody wants to talk about it and nobody wants to touch it, but that doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve the operators and it doesn't serve the business owners. And so I made the decision to start my own business, largely to solve that gap in the market and to fill it. And I haven't looked back since. Like, now that I'm a visionary, now that I'm an entrepreneur, yeah, there's no going back for me.
Absolutely. That's great. That's a great journey. And that's a great gap that you're filling out, by the way. How do you define it as like operations? And so many people look into different ways at different levels. I'm sure there are different definitions to it. But how do you define that? What is your definition of operations?
Yeah, totally. And it's such a good question because I think everyone could tell you what, more or less, with the same insight, like what is sales? What is marketing? What is operations? I'm gonna get 10 different answers if I ask 10 different people. So my definition of operations is any action required within a business to optimize the ROI of a company's core resources. Those resources are time, energy, money, human potential. For digital businesses, these are the four resources that we visionary founders have to work with every single day. The job of operations is to get the most out of what you got. How do I maximize the ROI when these four things go to work in my company every day?
That's beautifully explained. I love that. And what differences do you see? Like, let's say I'll take three categories, six, seven, and eight figure people, right, or businesses.
Yeah.
What are the operations differences you see at different level at six, seven, and eight figure?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's honestly, from an operations perspective, it is a completely different business at each of those stages of growth, right? Completely different operational infrastructure. At a six-figure business, there's not much of one, right? Maybe you've got like a Google Drive with a couple of docs and a couple of spreadsheets. Maybe you have a couple of people on your team and you guys, like, if you're doing it well, you're talking to them in Slack. If not, you're just like blowing them up in some sort of WhatsApp chat, right? Like, six-figure operations can look so many different ways, because the reality is that at six figures, operations is not the most important thing in the business. What's important at six figures is sales and marketing and product. Do you have a thing you can sell? And do you know how to sell it? This is what starts a company. Nothing else matters until you figure out these two things. But then once you figure those things out, operations starts to matter a great deal. Because the question is, cool, you know what you do and you know how to sell it, but can you do it repeatably? Can you do it at scale? And can you do it in such a way where you, the entrepreneur, do not have to be hands-on involved every single time it gets done? And that's where operations comes in. How do we elevate you out of your own processes? How do we build a team around you so the right work can get done with or without you? How do we build the right systems and processes so that the same outcome is met every time, repeatably, scalably? So once you get into that high, really, it's like that high six-figure range, Sahil, is where operations starts to become very important, very fast. Seven figures, where you're building out all of the core operational pillars in the business. And then eight figures, if you have a lot of eight-figure listeners in your audience, we can talk about it. But eight figures is a layer above that even.
Wow. Okay. So it means that at six-figure, I can admit that, to agree to that part. Like six-figure is more of sales, marketing, and product, basically, whatever you're selling. Do you introduce, according to you, like separation that multiple six figures as soon as somebody touched the multiple six figures? Is that the right point?
Yeah. So we, like, for example, we generally start working with our clients at a minimum. They're doing around like a 30K per month type of revenue rate. 50K per month is where we really start getting into some things. And then where we do our best work with people is when they're right around the seven figure run rate, up to about 200-300K months is our sweet spot. And the reason for that is, again, that's the moment in time where you go from, I didn't need any systems. This Google Sheet was working just fine. My text messages with my team working great, to all the balls are dropping. Everything is chaos. My team is coming to me all the time. Nobody knows what's going on. And I am spending all day running on a hamster wheel. Operations is what is going to get you out of that place.
Got you. That definitely makes sense. And in that, let's say, it's going to be a selfish question for me. So we recently did our first seven figures. And like, if I ask you this question, what are the first operations or systems I should keep in place to go from 1 mil to, let's say, 10 mil? I want to hit that. Yeah. What are the first systems I would,
Okay. So a couple of questions for you. How big is your team?
We are seven people right now.
Okay. Where are you guys currently communicating?
Through Discord or Messenger, Facebook Messenger. Yeah.
Okay. Discord and Facebook Messenger?
Both, yeah.
All right, yeah. Beautiful. We'll circle back around to that. And how are you tracking client information?
We are tracking through Google Sheets. Simple.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Here is what I would say for any listener, right? Even if their answers are totally different from yours. Mm-hmm. Where are you feeling the most dragged into the business? Is it a particular department? Is it a particular role or function or meeting? What is eating up the most amount of your time?
I think it's communication gap, which is the most sometimes like, who was responsible for this? Why this thing didn't get done? You know, yes. Although everyone was responsible for something, but then there is a task, you know.
And who is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, 100%. So how much of your day, Sahil, would you say you're spending in Facebook Messenger, Discord, and on meetings combined? How much time are you spending talking?
Oh, wow. That's a lot, actually. Our day starts with a team meeting. That's the first hour of team meeting. And then we had coaching sessions or other sales calls and all that. And then in the middle of the day, it's like all over the day, if I say that. You're like, you know, it's sometimes it's like, oh, can you pass on me this? Can you pass on the Trello board? Can you give me the link of this sheet and all that stuff? I think it's that. Yeah, you can understand.
I feel you. Yep. Because that's most of our clients. We see that. Here's the thing. There's a micro optimization represented by getting the heck out of Facebook Messenger and bringing all of your team communication into Discord. But that is not the reason that your team is blowing up your Discord all day, every day. The reason is that you don't have back-end systems that are organizing and managing tasks. So this is a classic example of why the operational lens is really important in the business. On the front end, on the surface level, that looks like a communication problem. So I should probably fix our communication, right? Not a communication problem. It's a systems problem. You don't have any structured task management, or at least it's no longer working. And so your biggest system, and this is true for most of the clients we work with, is what I call our single source of truth. It's a project management system. It's Asana or ClickUp or Monday. The software really doesn't matter, but it's getting you out of Google Sheets into a software that is designed and built to help run the day-to-day execution of the team. So that instead of going to Discord, to figure out what the heck is going on and who owns this task and where are we at with this and who's that client again. Now we have a single source of truth where everyone on your team can go find what they need to be doing that day, find the information that they need to do the thing, and then they're just doing the thing instead of talking about it.
That's so on. Yeah, right on. I can relate to that. And do you advise to have like maybe one resource for like back where we have all the links available? I don't know if it's, we are trying to build one actually, where it's like one doc which has like, okay, you want this, go here, you want this, you know, but then it looks like a maze sometimes, you know, you one link to another, to another, to another, and then you're like, oh, where did I start
where
from?
Where even am I, right? Like what, exactly. What subfolder within subfolder am I in the Google Drive right now?
You got this right. Yeah.
I won't say get out of Google Drive, but I wouldn't make Google Drive your single source of truth. All of those links should be added into ClickUp, into Asana, right? If I'm going to have an SOP, then the SOP can link off to different docs or different resources in the Google Drive. But the set of tasks, the checklist, is kept in our task manager, which is Asana, which is ClickUp, right? So the single source of truth is a centralizer. It pulls information from Stripe, from PandaDoc, from the sales CRM, from Google Drive. But it brings it all into a single place so that instead of having to look four places, your team can just look in one.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And how much, like, what do you say in this operation thing matters? How much, if you want to put in a percentage, how much it matters to literally go from 1 mil to 10 mil, just for example?
Well, let's, if you don't mind, use your business as an example. How many hours do you spend talking with your team every single day?
It's hard to quantify in that way, but starting with, again, 1 hour of team meeting and then here and there, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, here and there.
Yeah, give me a rough.
Let's take an idea of 3 hours, maybe 3 to 4 hours. That's half a day. Oh, wow. Okay. Now I'm realizing.
That's half a day, right? On average, like out of 40-hour work week, which I know entrepreneurs do way more, but entrepreneurs work on average 2,000 hours in a year. So cool. 2,000. Let's just say 50% of that. So we're looking at... Okay. 1,000 hours spent talking.
Yep.
You could even get half of that back with the right system. That is 500 hours that you have now freed up over the course of your year. What could you do with 500 hours, Sahil? What would you do?
A lot of things. I can make my product more better. I can make my clients make maybe more happy with that. I can add some more accountability, support, a lot of things that we can be done. I can go on more podcast show like this. We can do, I can speak on stages.
Yeah,
I can do some more events.
Yeah. Ballpark estimate. How much more revenue could you bring into your business?
Oh, wow.
You did all of that.
Imagine if I do even like 2 1-hour sales call, 500 sales call extra, I can be able to do that. That's right on.
Okay. Then that's the value of operations.
Wow.
Right? Because it's not about, you know, operations isn't there to go out and find the next big marketing offer or winning sales strategy, right? We're not about bringing more money into the business. We're about keeping the money, keeping the time, keeping the energy that exists within the business and putting it to work effectively. You are losing 500 sales calls a year. You are losing however many stage appearances or podcast shows that would be. It's the opportunity cost of what you can't produce because you are spending all of your time talking to your team. And the important thing here is that that is one systems optimization for one person on your team, you. Multiply that by 7. Multiply that by however many systems or improvements your operator can make across the business. That's the opportunity cost that is currently, again, not being made. That's money that is leaking out of your bucket because the right operational infrastructure isn't there.
Wow. Is there any particular framework that you use to find the bottlenecks, especially when it comes to operations?
Yeah, totally. We actually literally just built it into a free tool. We call it the Bottleneck Breakthrough Detector, and I'm happy to drop the link in the show notes so that people can look at it. But again, sure. Guys,
say that again. What is that?
Yeah, we call it the Bottleneck Breakthrough Detector because I've looked at this point hundreds of businesses. We've done in-depth audits in my company for 30 plus at this point. And so we've taken all of that data. We've broken it into 6 core categories and pillars across a business. And the bottleneck detector is essentially programmed to ask you a series of questions and then tell you which of these 6 represent the single biggest leak in your bucket. Put your focus here, put your operator's focus here, and you will save the most amount of money and unlock your next wave of scalable growth. So that is a free tool available to everyone. I will drop that link.
That's awesome. I'll also make sure to put in the show notes. That's amazing. Cool. And how do you make sure, I'm coming to back again to the couple of minutes ago we started talking about it. How do you make sure that business owners, especially the person who's the founder and all, don't become the bottleneck of the operation? This is an important question.
Amazing. Okay. Amazing question. Let me just drop this in the chat.
Sure.
So how do they not become the bottleneck?
Yep. How the business owner, especially, this is the most important.
There is the internal version of this, and then there is the external version of this. The external version, the easy version, is get an operator. Because as a visionary, your nature is, I can do the thing. I can do the thing better. I can do the thing faster. I can just fix this for my team. I can just be in the weeds. And in that kind of reactive state, that's where I see entrepreneurs really back themselves into the corner. Because when you were small, you had to do everything. You didn't have a choice, right? But now you have a team. Now you have the opportunity to create systems. Now you have the opportunity to scale. If you keep showing up to your company the same way, though, which is, it comes back to me, it's just me, send it my way, I'll just do it, you will never get yourself out of that corner. In fact, it will just stack and pile on and pile on, and that's where we get to burnout. And so I guess that's actually the internal side of it, which is, it's a set of behaviors, it's a set of mind, it's a mindset shift, it's an identity shift that goes into changing what it means to be successful, evolving your definition of success away from, here's everything comes back to me and I can do it, towards, my job is to create the ecosystem in which everything gets done. But my job is not to do everything anymore. And that sounds really simple, Sahil. It's really freaking hard. And it's a 360 degree evolution that the founding CEO has to go through internally in order to successfully scale past their limit of time, their limit of energy, their limit of work ethic, their limit of just like the amount of hours they have in the day to move the business forward. Mm. That limit looks different for different entrepreneurs. I think the biggest I saw was an 800K per month entrepreneur who was just like sheer brute force had gotten his business to 800K. He was miserable. He was burning out like crazy. His business was a mess and he wanted to burn the entire thing to the ground, right?
Mm.
So that's the internal side. The external side is, bring in a damn operator. Your job is not to build the systems.
Right.
Your job is not to know that your Discord problem isn't actually a Discord problem and it's actually a system that should actually look like this. Not your job. Your job is to go out and appear on stages and do podcasts and take sales calls and bring the next wave of growth into the business. Your operator's job is to see the gaps and to know how to close them.
Exactly. That's amazing. And what do you think, what are the key factors that makes the, I would say, team operates on their own? How would we make them, if we take the BO out of the game, or they are like not looking at all these tasks, what you just mentioned, how do you make that team operate on their own?
Yeah, totally. So going back to my original definition, right? We had four resources: time, energy, money. The fourth is human potential. And this is probably, in my mind, the biggest and most wasted category of the four. Think of human potential, guys. Like, I think of it as like a pile of gold. It's a pile of gold sitting under your mattress. It's there. Your team has it. They have all this human potential. Are they bringing it to work within your business? Are you taking the gold out from under the mattress and actually putting it to work? This is how we lead. This is how we hire. This is how we train and onboard. This is how we manage. This is how we roll out SOPs. This is how we have weekly meetings, right? It's all the little things that comes to how do we show up for our team? Are you doing it in such a way where your team is asked and invited to bring their best to the table, to solve the problem themselves, to innovate, to have creative ideas, to be proactive problem solvers? Or are we creating an environment accidentally? I don't know a single business owner who does this on purpose, but are we creating an environment where our team is dependent on us for everything, where they don't think for themselves, where they just follow the SOP and they're not going to make it better? And if the SOP doesn't work or if it breaks, it's not going to be on them. Or maybe they just don't even follow the SOP at all, right?
Right.
All of that is on us as the leader and on your operator in terms of the HR systems that they create across your business. So there's a systematic way of maximizing human potential. Does your operator know how to do that? There's a systematic way of being a high performance leader. Do you know how to do that?
Right. Great, that's great. And do you consider, I got this great epiphany, I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong, but recently I was like, I was in a process of hiring someone, and then I saw, I hired the guy who was more proactive rather than guy who was carrying just some experience even. I was just like, again, it comes with little ego thing, you know that. So I was like, now I feel like I made the right decision. I was like, okay, the proactive guy is doing way better work than I could have expected. What do you say about on that? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, hiring 101 in terms of just best practices here, Sahil, are reverse engineer the hiring funnel that is a match for the person who's going to be successful in the role. What I mean is that not every single role needs proactivity, right? Some roles need that more than others. But if there's a role where there's a lot of proactive problem solving involved, how can you build a hiring funnel that tests for proactive problem solving? Give them a problem and see if they proactively solve for it, right? So yeah. I build my hiring funnels in a, like, it follows the same set of steps, but it's customized to the exact set of competencies and skills that that role needs to be successful. And I stress test for it in the hiring funnel so that the super experienced person, the person on paper who looks perfect, if they don't meet the competencies or the attitude that I need for the role, I'm not even going to interview them. The hiring funnel is going to kick them out.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what exactly I was going to say. Cool. Yep. That's amazing. What are the best hacks or tools that you have learned? You're already getting great experience in that to get better at, especially your operations. What's your biggest hack or favorite tool that you use?
To get better at operations?
It looks like a coaching session to me, by the way, but I'm loving this.
Well, so are you asking as a visionary?
Yep.
Yeah. I think the biggest permission slip that I can give you, Sahil, is that you don't need to be better at operations. That's really the truth of it. It's not, if we go back to time and energy, your time and energy is best spent, best serving your business, being the front face, doing the podcast, speaking on stages, coming up with marketing sales offers, you know, redesigning the product. That's you in your zone of genius, doing your highest value work, going through the effort, the struggle, and frankly, like the procrastination and demotivation, because you don't actually want to be better at operations, right? Like to force yourself through that learning curve is not a good use of your time and energy. It's costing your business because you can't spend that time and energy doing these other growth driving things. And so my biggest permission slip to you would be, you need to know enough about operations to know why it is valuable. So long as you know why it's valuable, there's nothing that's going to prevent you from going out and finding the right operator who can then know all of the things, fix all of the things, be the person who is better at operations than you are, and get it done so that you can take all of your time and you can put it towards the things that you're really good at.
That's amazing. It's like a matter of who can do it for you, not how can you do it.
100%. And with most visionaries that I know, operations is nails on a chalkboard. They don't want to be anywhere near it, which is why they've procrastinated it and put it off for so long. And that's okay, so long as you are acknowledging that this is something that you need, acknowledging that it's valuable enough to be worth going out and hiring for.
Right, right. And what are the different levers that you use for operations, especially to...
Great question. So for in digital startup land, which is where I play, there's essentially three levels to operations. There's your ops manager, there's your head of operations, and there's your COO. These are just job titles, right? What are they actually doing? Your ops manager is the on the ground, day-to-day systems specialist. So they build your single source of truth. They run your SOPs. They work with the team to make sure that they're following the SOPs, right? They are facilitating meetings. They're just in the day-to-day, making the day-to-day as effective as possible. Head of operations, to be clear, if you're in the six-figure range, the level of operator you need is an ops manager. As you cross the seven-figure run rate, as you get into that 100 to 300K per month, now the big deal breaker is team. Do you know and can you lead a high-performance team? Your operator is super involved in that project. And so a head of operations also has leadership ability. They understand culture. They understand HR systems. They know how to manage. They know how to lead. They know how to fire, right? Like these are head of ops roles. COO is what you need when you are no longer the only person who should be making strategic decisions for your business. COO is, I need somebody who has been there, done that, can see the business from the same 30,000 foot view that I see it, and can be my sounding board so I can make better decisions, right? Mm. Most people don't need a COO. Six figures, you don't need a COO. Low seven figures, you do not need a COO. You're doing a great job intuitively guiding your business forward. But when the next stage of business surpasses what you know how to do, that's when we're starting to look at more executive level insight, whether that be a consultant, a service like mine, a full-time COO, like then we're looking at the options for how do we bring that in.
Wow, you explained it very well. I love that. So it's like low seven figure is ops team basically, and CEO at high seven figures and beyond that are eight figures.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. And I saw that on your website, you have two programs, I think, Ops Academy and CEO Academy. Can you throw some light on that? What exactly those programs are and who they are for? How exactly we help these people? Yeah.
So the way that we do our work, Sahil, is again, like I would work with you to help you get your most scalable, operationally efficient business. But we just determined that you are not the best person to actually do that work. So the way that it works with us is that we have a coaching program where we put your operator through the program. We train them up. So if they're in Ops Academy, which is like our Ops Foundations course, they're learning how to be an ops manager. They're learning how to build your single source of truth, your SOPs. They're learning how to hire your first team members and how to train and onboard them effectively, right? If they are already an ops manager, you've already got that covered. And now they need team leadership, high performance team, data and analytics, finance and profitability. Now they're straying into head of ops territory. And that's where we take them through COO Academy so they can learn how to be a head of ops on their way towards that COO job title.
Wow. I'm just curious to know what is the duration of these programs?
Mm-hmm. Ops Academy is 3 months. COO Academy is 6 months, and we have a lot of clients who bundle both of them because we throw in a sweet discount, and also they know that their operator is going to need all of it, and that's 9 months of coaching.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. And if people wants to know more about it, what is the first entry level, like which link, which funnel, which website they can go to find more information about you?
Yeah, totally, guys. So check me out at spyglassops.com. You can see all of the products and services that we offer. And I dropped the bottleneck breakthrough detector, but it's also on the website. So you can grab it there as well.
Awesome. I'm going to drop that link in the show notes. And last and final question before I let you go. What's something that you should say everyone should start and stop doing, especially when it comes to operations?
Wow, what a wonderful question. Start and stop doing. Start applying a filter, a self-awareness that says, how much is this costing me? Every time you spend a minute or an hour talking to your team and you know that you shouldn't be. Every time you jump in to fix a fire or jump in to solve a problem or jump in to answer a question you've answered before and you know you shouldn't be doing it. The reframe that I would offer you, the reframe to start offering yourself is, this isn't just annoying. This isn't just reactive. This isn't just frustrating. It's expensive. This hour spent fighting this fire is costing me a sales call, is costing me a podcast, is costing me a growth opportunity that I can now no longer take. Be angry about it because it's expensive. It's costing your business money. And when all of these things stack up, you'll know when it's time to hire an operator or level up your existing operator because it will cost you that much. So that's what I would start doing. What I would stop doing is putting all of the pressure on yourself to solve every problem in your business. Ask yourself the question, who is the best person to solve this problem? And in fact, do as much as you can to shove all of that away from yourself, because I promise there's a member of your team who is the better person to do it, even just because they have the time to do so. And so start to offload, start to empower, start to delegate. And when it comes to operations specifically, give yourself permission to not be the best operator in your business. Give yourself permission to go out, find that person and bring that person in.
Oh, that's beautifully explained. I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much, Anna, for coming on, sharing your wisdom and knowledge about this. This is more of a coaching call, as I said to me. So I really love that. And people who are watching us again, I hope you are getting some values out of it, whatever level you are at, six, seven or eight figure. So thank you so much for coming on again. I'll see you in another episode. Till then, stay tuned. Take care. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much again, Anna.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.